the fact that Jesus is the one who creates everything, including the thrones and dominions, principalities, powers, and so on. We'd like to consider God's work tonight among the nations in the whole world. And if we can see his pattern in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we can understand what is happening today. With our election coming up in 9 or 10 days and the threat of great violence if the wrong one wins, we may see something we don't want to see. But we need to see that God is at work in all of these things. In Colossians, the first chapter, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, which has to be Christ, even the forgiveness of sins, who, that has to be Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, that has to be Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And notice now, visible and invisible. And then he mentioned several invisible things, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. That's exousia, which is governments. All things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So if all things involves everything, then everything has to be according to his work. So the first throne that Christ established was not in the first 6 days in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus is still the one who creates or destroys all nations. And we all know Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And that's that word exousia again. There is no government but of God. The governments that be are ordained of God. So in the Old Testament with Isaiah 9, God ordained that Christ would create an eternal kingdom. And of course, this has been done. And we are looking at Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. There's your eternal. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God promised to set up this kingdom of his son. And in Daniel, the second chapter, he is prophesying concerning this 600 years before it happened. Daniel 2. Verses 34 and 35. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became as the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a mountain, and filled the whole earth. So if the stone is cut out without hands, then it could not have been man that cut the stone out. This has to be God's creation. So the stone then, God's kingdom, became a mountain and filled the whole earth. So the Lord created the nation of Israel by taking them out of Egypt, and we all know that. He was their king, and he gave them a law, and they thus became a nation as they came out of Egypt. In 1 Kings 11, verses 29 to 32, the Lord created the northern tribe of Israel about 975 BC. So he broke the full nation of Israel up and made two nations, Israel and Judah. This was about 975 years before Christ. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. So God then ordained that Jeroboam would be the first king of this new kingdom. And God created this in 975 BC. But we've already read that Jesus is the one that creates all these things. Isaiah the ninth chapter, Isaiah the ninth chapter beginning in verse 8. The Lord built, and then a few years later, he destroyed the same nation. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it alighted upon Israel, Isaiah 9, verse 8. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. The Lord then, because of their pride, destroyed Israel about 250 years after he created it. And he destroyed them by scattering them among the nations. In Isaiah the ninth chapter, verse 11, therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin, that's Israel, the northern tribe, against him and join his enemies together. Notice the Lord's going to do this against Rezin, who's the king of northern tribe of Israel. The Syrians before, there's a nation above them, and the Philistines behind, that's the nation to the west. And they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turns not to him that smites them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. So the Lord is trying to bring Israel back, but they will not listen. Then verse 14, Isaiah 9, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, notice, in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Well, we can see the same thing happening today in the religious world. The leaders cause men to err. In 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, 2 Kings 17, verses 4 to 6, when God prophesied, nothing was going to change it. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, and that's now, he's now the king of Israel, the northern tribe. For he has sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Haber by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. So he took the Israelites and scattered them through these different nations. So in one day, the northern tribe of Israel was destroyed as a nation forever, and it never recovered. So Isaiah, the 10th chapter, God took full credit for Israel's destruction. Isaiah 10, verse 5, O Assyria, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hands is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, that's the northern tribe of Israel, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so. He doesn't intend this to serve God. Neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings. They're not just princes. Is not Kelno as Carchemish? I conquered Kelno. I conquered Carchemish. Is not Hamath as Arpad? I've conquered Arpad. Is not Samaria as Damascus? I've already conquered Damascus. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols whose graven image did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? So God then answers in verse 12, wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. So God now was doing this work against Jerusalem and Mount Zion, and he was using the king of Assyria to do it. And then the king of Assyria then boasts about what all he's done. And verse 14, and my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathers eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. So he just went from nation to nation and gathered the whole earth. So how much did Assyria conquer? He conquered the whole world, and nobody opposed him. So Assyria was not a righteous nation, but nevertheless, he used them to fulfill his work against these other nations throughout the world. He punished them for their wickedness. Now the Lord destroyed Israel through Assyria about 250 years after he made him a nation. He destroyed them by scattering them among the nations. So then what does God then do to the king of Assyria, who is such a great power at this time, 722 BC? Isaiah 10 verse 15. God asks Assyria, shall the axe boast itself against him that hews with it? Or shall the saw magnify himself against him that shakes it? Or if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up? Or if the staff should lift itself up as if it were no wood? So God's using this king, and he's the axe in his hand, as he said in verse 5. Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness. And under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy ones for a flame. And it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars, notice, in one day. And shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And they shall be as when a standard bearer faints. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them. All this is going to happen in one day. Why? Because of his great pride. So God used Assyria in his work to destroy the nations on earth, and then he destroyed Assyria. Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Not just Israel, but also all the nations of the earth. Verse 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, as I have purposed it, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains, tread him underfoot. He killed 185,000 leaders. Then shall his yoke depart from off them and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purpose, notice, not just Israel, but purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? So notice, God is using the nations that he created against other nations of his wrath and against the whole world. So God has done these things, and he shows his great power and his work. Question, is he still ruling on these in the nations of the earth today? Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, verse 43. And we'll see that God continues to rule all nations today. Jeremiah 43, verse 10. God did the same thing to Egypt, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadrezzar, that's the same as Nebuchadnezzar, is just a different spelling, the king of Babylon, my servant. Notice who's serving God, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion upon them, that's in Egypt. And when he comes, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and shall deliver such as for death to death, such as for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself for the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garment. And he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth-Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of Egypt shall he burn with fire. So by the time Nebuchadnezzar then is used by God, he will destroy all these idols, and he will kill the ones that he's ordained to be killed. He'll deliver into captivity the ones that he has determined shall go into captivity in Babylon. So God's the one doing all these things. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar thinks it's him, but God says, no, it's me. I'm doing these things. So in Romans, the 9th chapter, we see that this is God's work in New Testament time, and he tells what he does with the nations. Romans 9, 17 through 21. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and my name might be declared through all the earth. Well, that's what he's going to do with Pharaoh. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who can resist his will? We need to remember that. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So there's no power but of God, and all the powers that be are ordained of God. He can build, he can destroy, just like a potter does with the clay. So in Jeremiah 25, again, we turn back to God's work in Babylon. Jeremiah 25, 13 to 16, we're going to Assyria. Assyria has power. And the Lord ordains in Jeremiah 25, 13, I will bring upon the land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all nations. Notice that's not just Egypt, it's all nations. So that's what he did with the king of Assyria. Now he's doing the very same thing with Babylon. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them, that's all nations also. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. And that's the sword of Babylon. Jeremiah 25, verse 7. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hand to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring him against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them. Notice, against all these nations that are round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolations. So God then punished the entire world through Nebuchadnezzar, as he did through the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria was 722 BC, then Nebuchadnezzar was 606 BC. So about 120 years later, in Jeremiah 25, verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Did it matter what the king of Babylon did or didn't do, or what anybody did in the kingdom of Babylon? It didn't make any difference what was going to happen. 70 years, they would serve the king of Babylon. So God destroyed the entire world and they served him. Jeremiah 25, 17. Then took I the cup of the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. Then verse 18, namely, and he names these kings, Jerusalem, the cities of Judah, the kings thereof, the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people. Then he mentions all these different nations, Uz, Philistines, Ashkelon, Azim, Ekron, Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon. And all the kings, verse 22, of Tyrus, all the kings of Zidon, Dedan, Tema, Buz, Arabia, Zimri, Elam, and the Medes. All the kingdoms of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world. Notice, all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth. And then the king of Shishak, that's Babylon, shall drink after them. So they served Babylon, all these nations, for 70 years, and God made them, destroyed them, made them an astonishment and a curse. So Jeremiah 25, verse 27, therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup of thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For lo, I bring evil upon the city which is called by my name, that's Jerusalem, and shall you, that's all these other nations, be utterly, noticed, unpunished. You shall not be unpunished, all the nations of the world. For I will call for a sword upon the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in verse 31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He shall give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be as dung upon the ground. So when God decided that all nations would be destroyed, what happened? He destroyed them. Why? Because they would not listen to him. In Jeremiah 25, verse 11 to 13, the Lord promised he would take vengeance then on Babylon. So Jeremiah 25, verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And that's not the end. It shall come to pass, when the 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make them perpetual desolations. So this is going to be worse than on all these other nations. Notice in verse 13, I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. So when God determined it would happen, what would stop it? Nothing. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them, that's Babylon also. And I will recompense them, Babylon, according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. So who could stop God from fulfilling all this? He determined it. It would be brought to pass. Jeremiah 51, 1 to 4. Jeremiah 51, 1 to 4. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst there of them that rise up against me a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land, for in the day of her trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bends, let the archer bend his bow. Against him that lifts himself up in his brigandine, his armor, and spare ye not her young men, and destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, that's Babylon, and they that are thrust through in her streets, that's in the streets of Babylon. So God's going to do all these things in Babylon. In Jeremiah 50, 1 to 3, Jeremiah 50, verse 1, the word of the Lord, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. All this is in Babylon. For out of the north there comes up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate. And none shall dwell therein. They shall remove. They shall depart, both man and beast. None shall dwell therein. Who could change what God had ordained concerning Babylon? In Isaiah 47, verses 9 through 11, Babylon is going to be worse than all these other nations. But these two things, verse 9, shall come to thee in a moment, notice, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude, and there's the reason, of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I'm great. I'm the best. I think I've heard that somewhere before. Therefore shall evil come upon thee that thou shalt not know from whence it rises. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly. Remember, he said in one day, which thou shalt not know. So according to history, the Medes, actually it's the Persians in history, but actually the Lord said it's the Medes, turned the river that went through the middle of Babylon to another area. And so the river of Babylon was dried up. And so the nation of the Medes went under the walls through the river that was dried up, and went through the middle of Babylon, simply walked under the wall where the city was having a great party. So they then went through the entire city and destroyed all oppositions, and including Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. It happened all in one day. It was a simple victory because they had no organization. So the Lord ordained it, and it happened in one day. So Isaiah 13, notice again, the Lord told us why they would do it. We need to wonder about the wickedness that is in our land. Isaiah 13, 11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe and as a sheep that no man takes up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. So God did destroy all the world again through the king of Babylon. In Jeremiah 50, 9 and 10, for I will cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be of a mighty expert man. None of them shall return in vain. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Now, can you imagine that every single arrow hits its mark? Well, that's what God did with Babylon when they went against the nations before and against Assyria. God gave the Babylonians great strength and power to destroy all these nations. Now he's doing it for the Medes and Persians. So Jeremiah 50, verse 18. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I have punished the king of Assyria. And then in Jeremiah 51, verse 6. Many Jews had remained in Babylon when the good figs went back to Jerusalem. So just like he warned the Christians in the destruction of Jerusalem, notice he warns these Jews that remained in Babylon. He tells the Jews, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. Notice the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup, notice, in the Lord's hand. So God's used them, that made all the earth, notice, not just one or two, but all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Notice, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Nobody would dream that would happen in one day. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Why? Forsake her. Why? And let us go everyone to his own country. Why? For her judgment reaches unto the heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple, and of course that's for their wickedness. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. So all of their defense would be nothing when God rises up against them. Not one of their arrows would fail. So the Medes and Persians destroyed Babylon suddenly in one day. Now Jeremiah 18, 3 through 10. The Creator has a right to create these nations and a right to destroy them. And we won't mention that he did the same thing with the Greeks, and then he did the same thing with the Romans. Jeremiah 18:3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work of the wheels, and the vessel that was made of the clay was marred, that is, it was injured or hurt in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Well, we're all of clay, aren't we? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and destroy. God is creator. He creates these kingdoms. He has full rights to destroy what he has made. Isaiah 13, let's turn there, verses 17 through 20. Notice the destruction of Babylon, that he made it worse than all these other nations. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. So Babylon couldn't buy their way out. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces. They shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that's pretty hard. It shall never be inhabited. That's the city of Babylon. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. God is angry with the city of Babylon. So in Isaiah 13:21, notice the pattern that still continued in the same way. Wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. Their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. Owls shall dwell there, and Saturn shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Well, it's still that way today. Why? Well, they turned the river away into another area so that that place dried up. So when Saddam Hussein determined to rebuild the old city of Babylon, he was going to build a hotel there. It wasn't long later till he was killed. So Isaiah 28, verse 22, now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. So when God determines to destroy the whole world for their wickedness, what is going to happen? Is our nation wicked today? Is there any nation on earth that's righteous? Isaiah 54, verse 5, this is a prophecy concerning the church. Thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Notice, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Jesus is still creating. Jesus is still destroying. Jesus is God of the whole earth. Remember in Colossians 1:16, by him were all things created in heaven and in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominion, principalities, and powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is accomplishing his work even today. Let's turn to Ephesians 1 now, verses 9 through 11. Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. Notice how God is working all these things according to the counsel of his own will. Having made known unto us the mystery of what? His will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So there's his purpose. His will, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. There's God's plan, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, the Father, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So God's still doing all these things today. So God planned the work of history. In Daniel, he prophesied for four nations that would come, and then a fifth nation, 600 years in advance. So when God determines these things, who's going to stop it? So Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16. Even before Israel was a nation, God had the exact numbers of years, and we'll see even days, before Israel would become a nation. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and notice, they shall afflict them 400 years. All right, so 400 years, and then we come to Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16. And he said unto Abraham, verse 16, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Notice he's got the Amorites in mind, and it's going to take 400 years before the Amorites' wicked iniquity is made full. So he's going to work with them that many years. So does God plan by days or by hours or by months, or does he plan by hundreds of years? In Exodus 12, let's turn there. Exodus 12, verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So apparently there was 30 years that Joseph was ruling in which the children of Israel were not afflicted, because he said they would be afflicted for 400 years. And notice verse 41, it came to pass at the end of 430 years, notice, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went up out of the land of Egypt. So we think that there might be some doubt in what God is doing there day after day with Pharaoh in Egypt. No, there was no doubt. Even the self same day, 430 years, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Israel. Well, God had planned this thing, not days or months or years, but hundreds of years in advance. He planned Nebuchadnezzar to build him up and destroy him. He planned the Grecians to be built up and to destroy them. He planned for the Romans to be built up and then destroyed them. Then he planned for God's kingdom to be set up and then to there be a falling away that would, so the people would turn away from God. So from 476 to at least 1100, the Middle Ages ruled and the kingdom of God ruled in the nations of men. There were no great powers except temporary from time to time during that time. In the meantime, the nations that he said he would destroy disappeared. So who destroyed all these? God foretold that his kingdom would rule forever and ever. It's an eternal kingdom. And that kingdom, of course, is the church. So God planned all these things, not just a few days beforehand, but many years. So God then, in Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 1, ordains the higher powers and destroys them. Revelation 3, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, just 10 or more years after he told the Romans to obey the Romans, the Romans were the ones that were lighting them on fire and killing many Christians. Pliny made other governors and other governors kill the Christians, not knowing what they were doing. And Tacitus testified that in 64 AD, here's what happened. He's a Roman historian, and I'll just read everything he says. Consequently, to get rid of the report, that is that Nero had burned Rome, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations. That's the Christians. This is happening now about 10 or less years after he told them to obey Nero. Called Christians by the populace. So the populace has given them the name. Christus, that's Christ, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate, and he describes Christianity a most mischievous superstition. Thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source of the evil, but even in Rome, where all things hideous and shameful from every part of the world find their center and become popular. That's in Rome. Accordingly, an arrest was first made of all who pleaded guilty. And then upon their information, notice, an immense multitude was convicted, not so much for the crime of firing the city as of hatred against mankind. Mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. Covered with skins of beasts, they were torn by dogs and perished, or were nailed to the crosses. And some people say they were not nailed. Here this Roman historian says they were nailed to the crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burnt to serve as a nightly illumination when daylight had expired. So notice an immense multitude. So how many Christians were there? Well, there's still a lot of Christians left after this immense multitude were destroyed. So what did God do even with his own people? He tested them and formed their hearts. And so we find in Revelation 2, 9 through 11, he describes these people in Smyrna, in Philadelphia, and says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So in Smyrna, they killed them. Well, he says, you be faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So God does test his people, and he's liable to test us today. So we should not be afraid to die for the Lord. Paul was afraid to die until he made up his mind he was going to be willing to die for the Lord's sake. So in Corinth, he was afraid. 2 or 3 years later, he's in Jerusalem. He's not afraid at all. So if we make up our mind that we're going to glorify God like Peter did in our death, then we'll not be afraid. So Job said, even if he slays me, I'll trust him. So in conclusion, whatever happens to our nation in the coming days, God is still the one who has ordained all these things. He is still in full control. Not a sparrow will fall without him. And if he changes what happens, we should trust him. If he hears our prayers and things remain the same, we need to thank him. But in any case, let's them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto him as unto a faithful creator. He will never forsake us or leave us. We'll have the closing hymn now.